We've been at war for 12 years, and frankly, when you look at people discuss, hey, we want to be effective and efficient, as if they're the same thing in the same context. And frankly, they're very different. Of course, every organization, I think, would like to make sure they're doing both. But in a given situation, with DLD, for example, wartime, effectiveness takes precedence because, frankly, we were doing everything possible to provide equipment to the soldier to save lives. And when you're in that mode, you're in effectiveness mode. Do you want to be efficient? Sure you do. But effectiveness takes precedence. And so now things are kind of changing a bit, turning around. The environment's changing. The war in Iraq is over. We're winding down in Afghanistan. The environment has changed, and it's now more of an environment of, hey, guys, let's take a look at this. We need to address the efficiency issue. So in today's environment, we're concentrating more on efficiency than effectiveness. And frankly, I think we should. The concern is, when it comes to the workforce, is we have done a significant hiring effort over the last decade plus.
Right.
So when you look at, I think the figure, latest figure I saw was 50.1% of our workforce has less than 10 years experience. So in my former job, before I got this job 8 months ago, this was a big concern to me, because I think out there in Warren, Michigan, where I was a director, it was more like 60% of the workforce less than 10 years. So they grew up in an environment where effectiveness takes precedence. Get the job done. And frankly, inexperienced workforce, taking some risks, taking some shortcuts. And what's interesting is, so now we're being reviewed and audited, as we should be, in an environment of efficiency. So lots of looking back and lots of questioning, hey, was that a smart move? Frankly, two things are happening. In some cases, we're saying, hey, guess what? This was a good shortcut. We need to codify that. That's a streamlining initiative. In other cases, it's like, hey, guys, what were we thinking when we did that? We need to make sure we don't make that mistake again.
Right.
But you've got a workforce who grew up in that environment. They know no other environment. And so I've always said, hey, guys, do what you need to do to get the job done within the rules. But if you don't know the rules, you don't know the boundaries of the rules, you have more of a tendency maybe to go a little further than you should. So that was a concern. Frankly, if someone asked me, what do you lose sleep at night over? That's what I lose sleep. We raise this new workforce in an environment of effectiveness, take some risks. Not that we shouldn't be taking risks. You just need to know what the boundaries are when you're looking at taking those risks. So how do you deal with that? Hey, how do we kind of slow things down? Oh, by the way, customer expectations and, frankly, industry expectations were also increased. Hey, things were happening a little faster. So now how do you slow down that train and then deal with the customers and industry saying, wait a minute, why are things slowing down? We kind of like this faster pace. So, you know, people talk about bureaucracy and how that's a bad thing. In this case, I think what happened here, this thing called Better Buying Power 2, was the bureaucracy's answer to the issue.
Right.
And you look at Better Buying Power, and I would tell you, and some people would argue, there's not a whole lot of new there. It's not like it's some revolutionary new ideas coming out of it. It's basically OSD's answer to, hey, guys, we need to start focusing back on the basics again. Let's look at making smart decisions. Let's look at making the right decisions. Let's not just do things the way we've been doing them, because, frankly, we've got a little loose in being effective. So that's when I look at, hey, how are we going to train up this workforce to be the workforce of the next generation, make sure that they are smart business people making the right decisions, Better Buying Power is a really good answer to that. It puts reviews in the process. It slows us down, forces us to think. And frankly, I'm fond of saying technology kind of interferes with best practices in some regards as well. I have a great saying that just because technology allows us to do it instantaneously doesn't mean we have to do it instantaneously. And so what tends to happen is people stop thinking and just doing, because everyone's moving faster, faster.
Right.
Again, what the Better Buying Power does and what we need to do as leaders in Army contracting is slow down a bit and make sure we're making the right decisions at the right times in the process.
Mm-hmm. Your point about this workforce that's grown up in the go-go-go mode is really important, I think. Every time I write a story about some new edict that's come out of the Army or OSD, frankly, I hear from your guys and they say, Well, I'm not sure I signed up for this. I signed up to get stuff out the door, not to push paper around for reasons that to them just seem bureaucratic without any value added. How do you change that mindset? Do you see that?
Oh, yeah, I see it. You know, it's interesting. When we first, most of my experience with hiring up to this point has been when I was out in Warren, Michigan. And we were hiring 150, 200 people a year for a good 8 years. That's bringing a lot of people into the workforce. And, of course, and this was after the decade of the 90s where we hired practically nobody. So you kind of get concerned. You hear the stories on the news about this generation of folks just sitting home on the couch playing video games, and what are we going to get into the workforce? Frankly, I'm just astounded at the caliber of people that we've been bringing into the workforce. Their intelligence, their savvy. Frankly, they seem a lot more politically savvy than I remember being when I started oh so many years ago. So from that standpoint, I wasn't worried about the workforce. But, yeah, they are a different workforce. They are IT savvy. They like doing things quickly, frankly. Let's get it done. Don't necessarily need to interact with people while they do their job. And the example I had a situation where I got involved in one of my buyers was dealing with an engineer, and they were having an email war back and forth. And at some point in the war, I got copied on an email. And the minute I saw that, I just, hey, guys, stop this immediately. I go out and I find the buyer, this young lady, maybe I'm trying to remember, maybe 5 years into her career. And I remember standing over her, and she turns around her chair, and I said, here's what you got to do. Get up out of your seat. The engineering center was 200 yards away in another building. I said, you need to cross that field, go over, sit down with that engineer, and look him face to face and deal with this. And I still remember her face. She turned around and looked at me and said, with this questioning look in her eyes, why? And turned and said, I've got a PC. And wow, that was a revelation to me. So yeah, they are different. It is a different environment, but it doesn't negate the need for interaction, for people to sit down in a room. Because frankly, the discussion is different when you're doing it VTC, doing it over email, than it is when you're in a room, face to face, watching body language, watching the eyes. And to me, that's what we've got to make sure we don't lose that as we're training people up and letting them use all this wonderful technology. But that, to me, is what gets in the way. And frankly, now, I shouldn't say gets in the way. It just causes a different dynamic. And so that also leads to the premise about, yeah, and anything that slows that process down is just bureaucratic mess. There's a reason we have the processes we have, because we do answer to the taxpayer. We do have to make smart decisions. And in the process of doing that, it takes some review and some sort of stepping back and making sure the right people who have been in this business for a while, that's the other piece of this. How do we take advantage of the expertise and the savvy and the experience of the current workforce, and frankly getting smaller and smaller and smaller before they leave government? And one way is to make sure we have reviews where they're involved in the process so they can teach and coach the younger folks as to how to do things, why we do things the way we do.
As to your point there about the workforce getting smaller, how much smaller, why, where's that going?
Well, I, when I say smaller, I'm talking about the seasoned workforce. I learned a long time ago, it's not oldsters like me. We're seasoned, we're not old. is getting smaller. Hopefully, the workforce itself, we've grown the workforce somewhere, depending on you include military or not, somewhere between 8 and 15% over the last decade. We're not quite where we thought we needed to get because, frankly, we started in a hole in 2001 after the 90s, we've learned some lessons from that. So we were trying to build from there. We were hoping to get up somewhere a little over 9,000 across the Army as far as contracting professionals. We're about somewhere between 84,000 and 8,500 now. Frankly, the environment has changed so much, the economic environment, that we know that there's downsizing coming. I'm hoping, as far as the contracting workforce goes, that we could hold our own. We need to. So that 8,500 figure, if we can stay around there, we'll be doing very good. And frankly, over the last 3 years, I believe it's been, the Army has had a hard freeze to try and start dealing with the downturn in the economy and the DOD funding. That hard freeze has resulted in a net attrition rate, just standard attrition, retirement, leaving for other reasons.
Sure.
Of 4.5%, which doesn't sound huge. But when you look at, we're not replacing, so the net is 4.5%. We're estimating in 3 years, we'll be right back where we were in 2001 when we started building the workforce again. So that's a huge concern. And I've discussed that concern with those above me. And the Army is aware, and we're looking at that to make sure we don't go back to doing the things we did in the 90s that got us into the mess of having a workforce that is not as large as it should be to handle the mission.